For most of the last century, movie posters were the predominant form of film advertising, enticing audiences to escape the mundane for a few hours of on-screen romance, action, intrigue, or adventure. A new exhibition of film posters from around the world explores how films became a global export and how various cultures and countries approached the marketing of foreign films to new audiences. I'm Charles Horak, you're listening to On Film. The El Paso Museum of Art has debuted a new exhibition called No Subtitles Required, The Art of the International Film Poster, and I'm pleased to have the exhibit's curator, Christian Gertzheimer, in the studio today to discuss the exhibition. Good morning.
Good morning, Charles.
Great to see you. Full disclosure right up front that this exhibition is made up of posters from my own private collection curated by you, so it's a little unusual talking about some of my work at the museum, but I gather this is a little different from the kind of art that you're used to working with.
Well, a little bit, because the museum has had exhibitions of posters, but we generally focus on more one-of-a-kind original works of art. And although these posters are beautiful, they were produced in editions.
Right, mass quantities back in the day. Of course, film posters, though, were never thought of, at least from the period that we're looking at, which roughly goes from the early 50s to the early 80s, never thought of as art in their day. It's sort of changed in the last decade or so, but these would have been used and discarded. And so that's what makes some of these posters extremely rare, is that most of even though there would have been a lot of prints made, theater owners would have just thrown them away after their use.
Right. And the other thing is that they're from 13 different countries, too, from around the world. It's not like everyone has access to posters from that wide variety.
That's a good point, and something that I think you keyed into fairly early when we started talking about the possibility of a poster exhibition was, trying to give it some sort of an arc of a story. And while I have a number of American posters in my collection, I think it was fairly early on that we settled on focusing on international film posters. Tell me your thoughts along that line.
Well, that's what gives the exhibition its name and the whole meaning to it, because the No Subtitles Required is about the fact that these posters have different languages on them. They're not in English. Some of them are, a few, but the majority are from countries where English isn't the spoken language, and so therefore the text on them isn't readable to the person who can't read these foreign languages. And so there's that level of disconnect, and it makes the viewer have to look at the image purely for the colors, the image, and the composition, and that really changes when you're looking at a poster, whether you can read it. Maybe you can read the big names like Hitchcock or James Dean, and I think that really has an effect on the viewer being able to read some of those words.
That's an interesting insight. So you're thinking that it takes us out of the literal and allows us to open our minds to see the poster as art a little more easily than maybe if it had been all American posters that we're so familiar with. I think the other thing that struck us as we were going through the collection, though, and honing this particular grouping of 36 posters was you had commented several times about how rich the artwork was, often in comparison to maybe what the American artwork for the same films would have been.
Right, definitely. I mean, many of these posters, we know that advertising images for a lot of them already, Apocalypse Now, Terminator. But the way these artists interpreted the image on these posters is quite remarkable. And that's one of the things, we really picked up on.
This is the fourth year I've worked with the museum, and it's been a wonderful collaboration on film-related exhibitions. We've done things on costume design and production art and the art of the Ten Commandments in the past years. Most of which were brought in, those pieces brought in from Los Angeles and various archives and studios. This collection of posters, though, one of the things I learned working with the art museum and you as a curator and the other curators there at the art museum is that you want an exhibit to have multiple layers of readings so that people maybe initially enjoy just on the surface the beauty of the pieces that you're displaying. But then as they get to know those pieces and understand how they relate to one another, they begin to go deeper. And I think you've achieved that in this exhibit, in that by assembling posters from 13 countries, not only is it a diverse range of stylistic approaches, but it says something about how film translated around the world. Obviously, these were promoting actual films that were showing in different countries, and so it might be an American film showing in Poland or a Japanese film showing in Italy. It really opens your eyes to how, by the early 50s, cinema, national cinema, was beginning to be exported around the globe.
Right. I mean, that's one of the really interesting things. And we could have, if we had much more exhibition space, included multiple versions of the same poster for the same movie from different countries, but that would have taken up a lot of space.
Right.
We would have...
the entire museum.
Yeah, and we ended up only including three of one particular movie, and that was The Beatles' Help. Mm-hmm. And that's how you can see how three different countries were marketing the same movie and using creating an image of text and image, and in some cases, like I said, a different language on the poster. Mm-hmm. So
in that example, you have one from Japan, a poster from Denmark, and one from Belgium, and very different approaches to each of those, all from the same year, which also tells a story of just how, you know, we think of Beatlemania exploding in the U.S., where
right.
It exploded worldwide.
Yeah, they're incredible just to the images. I mean, the one is in French, the one is in Japanese, and the other is in, was it
Dutch?
Dutch.
Yeah.
That's the language of the poster. So that's something nowhere else can you see that combination of those. And that could have been done with more posters, but we wanted to show more posters from more movies rather than maybe just a selection of a dozen movies.
One of the things that ended up in the exhibit, though, is even though 13 countries are represented among the 36 posters, is you'd selected 9 posters that are all from Poland. I think it's the largest grouping from a single country. Let's talk a little bit about the Polish posters.
Well, that was one of the great things I learned from working with you on this exhibition, Charles, is the fact that during the Soviet era, the artists in Poland were making posters for movies, and they used their own ideas and that were based on not having seen the film before. And those are some of the more, in my opinion, more remarkable posters, just because many times they're abstracted. The way they use the images, they're just completely imaginative and not prescribed by the studio or someone in particular.
Yeah, I think it's clear if you were to walk around and look at solely the Polish posters, you'd be hard-pressed to figure out what film is being advertised. Because it's not representational art like, say, the European posters are, where, it's beautiful artwork, but it's still of people and scenes from films that are maybe iconic moments in films that you might recognize even if you don't read the foreign language title. But with the Polish, I think why those have become so sought after and collected is that they are so modern and abstracted and just work as a single piece of art regardless of your knowledge of the film. And act as an interpretation in some ways. The background to that was that in Poland, because of censorship, the films would be held up being reviewed by censors, and so the poster artists didn't have access to the actual films. And, of course, there was in the Soviet era, there was also the tradition of propaganda art, which was very striking and abstracted in some cases. And so they already had a bit of that tradition there locally. But oftentimes those artists were working just with the title of the film and maybe a brief synopsis of what it was about.
Yeah, I mean, some of those posters, I'm trying to think of one in particular that really amazed me to learn of it. I think it's Hiroshima Monomore.
Yes.
That one is very abstracted, but the image is very captivating too, because you can see that it's has some reference to the human body, but then there are lots of jagged lines all around it and just a little splash of bright pink in the middle that really catches the viewer's eye.
I really appreciate, too, that the museum was even open to pursuing this as a possible exhibition. I think one of the things that's we should be very proud of here in El Paso is the quality of staff and the intellect that's encompassed down there at the El Paso Museum of Art, because it wasn't too many decades ago that this kind of art would have been seen as a second-class citizen to art mm-hmm. with a big A. And I think museums and cultural institutions like yours play an important role in society of opening our eyes to new ways of seeing art and to incorporate decorative arts and commercial arts and industrial arts into your program is kudos to you and the rest of the museum.
Yeah, I think it has to do with the leveling of the field of high art and low art. Mm-hmm. What is what? Because many times that's a big question for people. What is more important?
We talked a lot about translation too, and you mentioned it earlier in the show, how these images translated to other cultures, how cultures appropriated certain images and discarded others for their marketing. I think the other translation that's happening is there's a smuggling of ideas that come with these films that maybe is another part of the story of the exhibit, is when you take it in its entirety, you can see how these films moved around from country to country and not just brought great directors to the fore knowledge of different areas of the globe, but the ideas that were embodied in those films were translated there as well and exported. Your own curiosity, I know, has led you in a lot of directions. Do you have a favorite poster in the exhibit?
Hard for me to say, but I think one of my favorites is the biggest samurai poster. It's the
Harry Carey
poster, yeah. Just because of the use of color, and it's filled with action, mm-hmm. and it's very expressive just in the way that it's composed. And
that's one of my favorites, and it's huge. It's an Italian poster for a Japanese film, which, you know, says a lot about the appetite there, I guess. Well, I do want to mention that you have multiple exhibits going on. Upstairs, there's a very special one.
Vanishing Ice, Polar Landscape, 1775 to 2012.
So while people are down looking at the posters, they should definitely go upstairs, and it's a remarkable exhibit in the large upstairs gallery. And I know that you're working with the Plaza Classic Film Festival to tie in a number of titles that you're going to be screening in the art museum, correct?
Correct. That's one of the ways that we're collaborating this year with the Plaza Classic Film Festival.
Perfect. Well, it's great to see all those community partnerships happening, and I sure appreciate you coming in, and I've really enjoyed working with you on this exhibition.
Well, I have too, Charles. It's been a great learning experience for me as well.
My guest today has been Christian Gerstheimer, curator at the El Paso Museum of Art. We've been discussing the museum's latest exhibition, which will appeal to both art and movie lovers. The exhibition, No Subtitles Required, The Art of the International Film Poster, showcases 36 vintage film posters from 13 countries and includes titles such as Vertigo, Spartacus, The Magnificent Seven, Terminator, Rebel Without a Cause, Apocalypse Now, and the Beatles film, A Hard Day's Night. The exhibition is partially funded by the Plaza Classic Film Festival, which is screening several of the films represented in the exhibit. For a listing of films and events, log on to the festival's website at plazaclassic.com. For more on the exhibition and to see examples of some of the posters represented, log on to the museum's website at elpasoartmuseum.org. On Films Producer is Norma Martinez. An archive of past programs is available on this station's website at ktep.org. I'm Charles Horak. Thank you for listening to On Film. Thank you.